would, to Matthew chapter 5. This morning we're going to be concentrating on verses 31 and 32, and we just continue to walk through hard things, dealing with anger a couple weeks ago, dealing with the issue of lust, really, at the end of the day, last time, adultery and lust, and today we're going to talk about divorce, and I know that's a touchy subject, so I come to you today with a lot of prayer, and I hope that you'll pray too. So I want to say this from the outset. Some of the things that I say today may cause bad feelings inside of you. That's probably true anytime I preach. My goal today is not to make you feel guilty. My goal today is to tell you the truth. None of you can do anything about yesterday except repent and turn to Jesus. But once you've repented, that's all done. It's covered by the blood. It's taken care of. And what you can do is live faithfully in the truth that God reveals to you today and for the rest of your life. Everybody with me? All right, let's stand together. Matthew chapter 5, verse 31. These introductions to the sermons the last couple of weeks have been really encouraging, haven't they? This is going to be really hard to hear, and you're going to be super uncomfortable. Welcome to Calvary. But God's truth matters, the parts that we get excited about and the parts that we don't. And I hope that this will be a challenge to you. And maybe you'll hear some things that you need to hear today. So let's pray, and then we're going to read this morning. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll help me today, for I'm nothing without you. I pray your Holy Spirit would move among us. I pray that you would give us ears to hear your truth today. I pray that you would bring healing to broken hearts, that you would bring grace and strength to struggling marriages. I pray that you would just help young people who are getting started, people who have been married for some time, who maybe have gotten a little too comfortable and aren't submitting and loving like they should. Maybe, Lord, there's some folks that have been married a really long time and they just aren't as committed or dedicated as they ought to be. Whatever the case may be, Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would work in every one of our hearts, that you would bless the marriages that are represented here today by your mercy and by your grace. Strengthen them. And Lord, as we have seen several young people get married lately, and we've got another young couple getting married this weekend, I just pray that you'll help them to keep Christ at the center of their lives and their home, and help them to stay faithful and dedicated to you. And may all of our marriages be a picture of Christ and his church for your glory. Please help me now, Lord. I'm nothing without you. We pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus says in Matthew 5:31, "It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, except for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery." Amen. Please be seated. So we're going to try to walk through this today like we have the rest of the things we've been looking at in these kingdom corrections, as the Lord is trying to correct the teaching of the rabbis of the day, what they had been teaching, their oral traditions for years and years. Jesus is taking each one of them by turn. Now, when he says, "You have heard it said, it hath been said, you've heard it said of them of old time," he is not saying that what the Old Testament said was wrong and I'm going to make it right. What he's saying is the interpretation that you have heard your whole life is wrong. The traditions that you've grown up with are wrong, and I'm going to get back to the heart of the law and the truth of God's word. So the misinterpretation of the rabbis was this. They took and interpreted Moses' concession for divorce as permission to divorce for virtually any displeasing reason. There were two main schools during Jesus' day of rabbis, Shammai and Hillel. And they had very different, they were broad ends of the spectrum on their interpretation of Scripture, one extremely conservative, the other one more liberal, and there was all kinds of interpretations in between. But the most prevalent of Jesus' day was that they believed that you could get divorced for any way. So when they went back to the Old Testament and they read in the law that he gave permission to divorce for uncleanness, they applied that to anything they wanted to. So let's look at what it says in Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. Because we care about what God's word says, right? Okay. Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. When a man has taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he has found some uncleanness in her, pay attention to that, some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife after that she is defiled, for that is abomination before the Lord, and thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God gives thee for an inheritance. So, right off the top, I'm going to give you kind of the basic of what how they interpreted it. Later, we're going to dig in, and I'll try to explain to you what I believe is the proper interpretation. But when they read, if you find some uncleanness in your wife, then give her a bill of divorcement, then they took that very literalistically, and Hillel decided that you could just apply that to just about anything. So, a husband goes along, he's got his wife. One day he sees another lady that he thinks is better looking than his wife. He could consider that to be an uncleanness in his wife because he found another lady that looked better than her, so he could divorce his wife because she wasn't as good looking as this other lady. Hillel taught that poor cooking or accidentally spoiling a meal was adequate grounds for divorce. I don't even want to think about what kind of can of worms I'm opening right now. Remember, just stop. We're talking about bad theology, right? Just remind you. Your wife burns the beans. Get rid of her and find a lady that won't burn the beans. No, don't say amen to that. any basic matters of appearance, household skills, justified divorce. She didn't keep the house clean enough. She didn't do the laundry to satisfy you. Anything at all, they could find justification for divorce. Some of you have heard of the historian Josephus. He was also a Pharisee, and he talks about it in the life of Flavius. He says, at this period, I divorced my wife, being displeased at her behavior. Then I took as a wife a woman from Crete. And he just writes about it, matter of fact. I didn't like her anymore, so I got rid of her, and I got somebody else. So they took God's word in this Deuteronomy 24, and they distorted it and missed the whole point. Marriage is a sacred institution given by God. Amen. It's to be between one man and one woman. One man and one woman for life. It's a picture of Christ and his church. Let me ask you a question. How long is the relationship between Christ and his church to last? Is it not an eternal union? And if we're going to give a picture of that, then we have a permanent union. Now, I want to remind you this morning, I'm not here to condemn you. Like I'm not oblivious to the fact that there are a lot of people in the room who have been through divorce and been remarried and all those things. We can't deal with anything in the past. What we can deal with is today. Amen? Please be with me in this. Listen, Malachi says that God hates putting away. He hates it. And nobody knows that better, why God hates divorce, than people who've been through divorce. You ought to know why God hates it. It is a heartbreaking and excruciating thing, and it hurts people. And not just the husband and the wife who separate, who one is put away. It doesn't just hurt them. It hurts everyone around them. It hurts the very fabric of our society. I was looking at the stats, and the numbers right now in America are between 41 and 50% of first marriages end in divorce. the numbers skyrocket from there. If you have been divorced and remarry, second marriages in the United States of America end over 70% of the time. Third marriages over 80% of the time. And there's something in us. Nobody wants to get a divorce, but there's something in our psyche that says, well, I did it once, I can do it again. Well, let me encourage you today. If you're married, stay married. You could go ahead and write that down in your notes if you want to. If you're married, stay married. Well, you say, well, I was divorced and I'm remarried and the statistics are bad. I don't care about those statistics. I just want you to know that the picture in America is bad and God's people ought to do better. If you look at Christianity and those professing Christianity, nominal Christians, and by nominal Christians, I mean those who are Christians in name only, somebody who would identify as a Christian, but they don't actually, you know, walk with God, go to church, read their Bible, or do anything Christian in their life, their divorce rates are actually higher than anybody who doesn't even claim to be a Christian. You guys listening? I'm telling you that people who say, I'm a Christian, but they don't go to church and they don't follow Jesus, they're more likely to get a divorce than somebody who's just completely outside of Christianity altogether. But did you know that if you are faithful in your service to God, if you're faithful in following Jesus, if you're faithful in church, that the number of divorce goes down by 27 to 50%, you are much more likely to stay married if you're faithfully following Jesus and going to church. Mind blown. Shocking, isn't it? So here we have these Pharisees, and what they're teaching is that you just, as long as you make it legal, that was the idea. Notice what Jesus says here. He says, whoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. And here's what the teaching of the rabbis was. Listen, if you want to get rid of your wife, that's fine. You can put her away, but you just need to make it legal. You just need to make sure you get the documentation right. You need to make sure you file it with the state, if you will. It's okay to put her away for anything you want to. Just make sure that you get the proper documentation. Do you guys see how messed up that is? And it's very easy to see how they had gotten hung up on the letter of the law and completely abandoned the heart of the law and missed the whole point. So I want to go back to Deuteronomy 24, and I want to make sure that we understand what the Old Testament is actually teaching. And you got to dig into the Hebrew a little bit to get this. And we read in Deuteronomy 24:1, when a man has taken a wife and marries her, and it comes to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her, And then the next word is then, let him write her a bill of divorcement. But in the Hebrew, if you dig into it a little bit, you're going to find that it's a series of if statements, and the then comes much later. So it's really like this. If a man marries a woman, if he finds some uncleanness in her, and if he gives her a bill of divorcement, and she marries somebody else, and if her second husband divorces her or dies, then her first husband may not take her back. And here's the whole point of Deuteronomy 24. If you find some problem, if you put your wife away, and if she ends up being with somebody else, you can't take her back because that would be adultery. She would be defiled by being with somebody else, and you can't take her back because she's been with somebody else. Are you guys tracking with me right now? The whole teaching of Deuteronomy 24 is not to give you permission or a commandment to get divorced. The whole teaching is if those things happen, then you don't go back because that is a defiled situation and you don't need to do that. So the teaching is to stay away from committing adultery. Okay? What did Jesus say? I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication. What is fornication within marriage? It is adultery. Okay? We're going to have to go through all those terms again. Fornication is sexual immorality, and sexual immorality committed within the bonds of marriage is, by definition, adultery. Sexual fornication, sexual immorality, fornication committed within the bonds of marriage is, by definition, adultery. And what the Lord is saying, I want you to don't commit adultery. He's guarding against adultery. That's exactly what the heart of the law was in Deuteronomy 24. And the Pharisees just took it as a license to divorce their wife for any reason they wanted to come up with so that they could marry somebody else, so that they could have lots of wives. I guess they wanted to be like Solomon or something. I don't know. You guys remember how many wives and concubines he had? Crazy. So many wives and so many porcupines. concubines. And just to be fun today, if any of you kids want to know what a concubine is, you can ask your dad later. So they got it all wrong. But Jesus clears up their teachings. I want to ask you to turn to Matthew 19 and verse 3. And we want to make sure that we understand what the Lord Jesus believed about marriage. Do you guys think there are a lot of opinions about marriage in America today? We really need to hear these truths today, because so many people in the church, in the Lord's churches, are more informed by society and culture than they are by the Word of God. And we want to know what the Bible says. There's a ton of people in America today who don't think that marriage matters at all. If you want to, you just live with somebody as though you're married, and you don't need to get married because it doesn't matter. It's just a piece of paper anyway. Hey, your marriage is not a piece of paper. Your marriage is a legal document. It is a legal contract, and that's true, and there's legal implications, and that matters because God's always given the government of marriage to government or higher authorities. It's not just that two people get together one day and say, hey, we're married. I mean, I know you did that on the playground when you were in elementary school, but that's not legally binding. Just real quick, anybody ever get married on the playground? Tisa, Brother Mike got married on the playground. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it's confession time. It is contractual, and that matters. There are legal protections that you need when it comes to marriage, and that's a whole different thing. But what marriage really is a covenant before God. It's not a piece of paper. It's a covenant that you made before God. You made vows to another person and to God, to each other and to God, and before God. And so it is a covenant. It's not just a piece of paper, and it does matter. And you don't get to just shack up with somebody and live as though you're married. Doesn't work that way. God's not okay with that. Okay? And you don't need to be confused about all the rest of it, about homosexuality and gender confusion and all the rest of that. Listen, it's one man and one woman for wife. That's what the Bible teaches. But you don't have to take my word for it. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 3, the Pharisees also came to him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Yeah, you see the heart behind what Jesus is teaching way back in Matthew 5, don't you? Is it right for a woman or for a man to divorce his wife for any reason? Can I get a divorce for any reason? And that was one of the huge debates that they had. The school of Hillel and the school on the other side, they're always debating about reasons, justifiable reasons. What is uncleanness? Why is it okay for me to divorce my wife? And then that's the whole point. Stop trying to divorce your wives. Just stay married. That's the whole point. And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Isn't it amazing how Jesus just answers questions? Not even the ones they were asking. By the way, he's dealing with the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the most religious group in the world of that day. When these people grew up, they started memorizing the Bible when they were not even teenagers yet. They had memorized books of the Bible, and they spent their whole lives memorizing scripture. And so when Jesus says, have ye not read, can you imagine how much that had to sting? Hey, can I get a divorce for any reason? Haven't you read your Bible? What are you asking me for? Did you read your Bible? So he says, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and that they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What God therefore hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Or you could just as easily say, let not man divorce. It's the same thing. God has put a husband and wife together, a man and a woman, to come together for life. And he says God did it in the very beginning. He put Adam and Eve together, and he put them together for life. Don't divorce that. Now, I think almost anybody in the world, when they go, I hope, any Christian, at least in the world, when you go to be married, that there's somewhere in your heart you believe that God brought you together. You believe that God was in that. And I know a lot of you ladies are thinking, I don't know what I did to deserve him. But I'm sure you've repented of that by now. I don't know what I did to deserve this. But you believed that God was in it and that God brought you together. And you made a vow and a covenant before God, and God brought you together. And Jesus says, when he brings you together, you don't bring a divorce. You don't put it asunder. You don't cut it apart. Verse 7, they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Why did Moses then command to give her a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Now, we already walked through Deuteronomy 24, and I hope that you could see that. Was that the intent of Moses? He's like, listen, fellas, let me tell you how to get rid of your wives. Did he command to give a writing divorcement? No. What he said was, if you do this, if you find some uncleanness, and if you put away your wife, and if she marries somebody else, and if he gets divorced from her or dies, then don't take her back. The whole teaching is about avoiding that uncleanness, about avoiding that adultery, in bringing somebody back together who's been with somebody else. That's the whole point. This is the whole point. He said unto them in verse 8, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. Is divorce a command of the Old Testament? No. It's something that God put up with, that God suffered, that God allowed or endured, and Moses allowed or endured. Why? Because men's hearts are hard. Here's the truth. God never commands divorce, but God made provision for it because we're so messed up. He knew that there would be men who would put their wives away. He knew there would be men who would put their wives away, so he made a provision to give protection to those women who had been put away. That's it. It's not good, and it's not right, and it's never God's will. It's never God's will. Sometimes I wish I could beat this thing like Brother Richard did, Brother Crawford did. Throw the pulpit off of here. It is never God's will. It's not his command. It's something that he puts up with because we're so messed up. I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Now, we'll get into the details of the whole thing, the whole idea of divorce and remarriage, because I know some of you right now are like, well, am I living in adultery right now? I'm going to give you the details of that later, but just know this. The answer to your situation today is not to add on to it by getting another divorce. I'll do my best to prove that to you probably this afternoon, but listen to me. If you're married today, stay married. That's it. Well, we messed up, and we did this, and we did that, and my story's all messed up and not according to God's plan. I understand that. Guess what? Join the club. Your story's messed up, and you made mistakes, and we're all messed up. And we all have nothing to do but to live in God's grace today and every day. Okay? So where you are, stay there. Stay there. So Jesus lines them out. Haven't you ever read? Here's the way it's supposed to be. One man, one woman, they come together and they stay together. That's it. That's God's design. That's God's plan. Moses did not command to give a writing divorcement. He suffered. He allowed you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. What does that mean? It wasn't God's design. It wasn't God's plan. And that wasn't the way it went in the beginning. So Jesus starts to correct their teaching. Go back to Matthew 5, verse 32. Jesus is going to correct their distorted view. And he's going to show them that marriage is intended permanence, and he's going to tell them that divorce is very strictly limited. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication. Jesus only gives one justifiable reason for divorce. Jesus permits divorce only in the cause of fornication. This is sexual unfaithfulness, violating the marital covenant. This is the only allowance the Lord gives, and it tells us how serious marriage is to Jesus. Only, Matthew Henry says, only severe breach, sexual immorality, can dissolve the marriage bond. Christ emphasizes fidelity, demanding believers honor marriage's sacred design. Now, it's only permissible, only acceptable, only justifiable, according to what Jesus told these Jews in his day, for the cause of fornication. But listen to me. Even then, he's saying it's permissible. It's not his will. In other words, if somebody is unfaithful in a marriage, it does not mean automatic divorce. God wants there to be reconciliation. And you say, I can't even imagine that. I can't even comprehend that. But listen to me, brothers and sisters, I have seen it by the grace of God more than once, where God gives grace to a couple who has been guilty. One or both have been guilty, but by God's grace, they were able to reconcile and stay faithful to each other from then on. Glory to God. Is that crazy? You guys ever read Hosea in your Bible? Could you just go like this if you've ever read the book of Hosea? Okay? There's some crazy stuff in the Bible. And this is one of the craziest things you'll ever read in your Bible. God raises up this prophet, and he says, I want you to marry this woman. I'm going to tell you about this woman. She's going to be a harlot. And she's not going to be faithful to you. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to take her back. And she's not going to be faithful to you, and I want you to take her back. And the whole story is the back and forth of her unfaithfulness and Hosea redeeming her. And it is a picture of the Lord and Israel. And I'd say Christ and his church. That they were unfaithful, and he kept coming back for them and coming back for them and coming back for them. And you ought to read it, because it's just an amazing story. These children born of harlotry, their names are changed because of the redeeming power of God. And I just want you to get it. God's will is always reconciliation. Always. Sometimes we're always looking the wrong direction. The Jews, the Pharisees were saying, their big argument with the Pharisees was, what can I get divorced for? They're always looking the wrong direction. They're looking over here. How far is too far? How far can I go without sinning? For what reason can I put away my wife without sinning against God? And all the while, Jesus is saying, look over here. Look at how God designed marriage and how God gave marriage and how marriage is supposed to be a picture of me and my church and how it's something God instituted to be for life. And you're looking the wrong direction. You have every reason to stay married. You have every reason to reconcile. You have every reason to forgive. You have every reason to love the unlovable and to forgive the unforgivable, because God loves you. Because Jesus has forgiven you. So you stay married. You stay committed. And you stay faithful. Divorce without legitimate reason will always cause adultery. Are you paying attention? Divorce without legitimate reason will always cause adultery on both parts. Always. So what do you do? What if I've done that? What if I've been divorced and remarried? I already told you. You repent of what's yesterday and you stay faithful to God where you are today. Stay faithful. So let me give you some practical steps this morning. And just so you'll know, Lord willing, this afternoon, we're gonna try to walk through some truths in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where the Apostle Paul deals with the issue of marriage and divorce and all of these things. And we're going to walk through that verse by verse this afternoon so you get that. But let me give you some practical steps to help your marriage. How many of you guys are married today? Can I see the married people? See, it's like almost everybody. God bless you. Skeeter and Callie, or they call her Bob. I don't know why. They're getting married this weekend, and you ought to pray for them. Chloe and Landon have already been married longer than I care to admit. Like, it's crazy. Been to a couple other young people's weddings this summer, and I just want to tell you, you ought to pray for our young people. The whole world's against them. The whole world's against their marriage, against what we're talking about right now. But by the grace of God, their marriages can be exactly what we're talking about here. Could be a picture of Christ and his church. It could be a beautiful covenant that lasts for their whole lives, but they're not going to be able to do it on their own. Amen. I mean, how long y'all been married? 52 years. Terry and Mabel aren't here this morning. He's preaching up in Stillwell, but Monday is their 53rd wedding anniversary. 53 years Monday. Listen, God has blessed some people in this church with some long marriages, and I praise God for it. But whether you've been married for a couple of weeks or months or for 50 years or anywhere in between, it's only by the grace of God that you're going to stick it out. But it's more than just sticking it out. It is thriving. It is living in the joy of God and His mercy. So the first thing we have to do is honor the covenant. Honor the covenant. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable in all in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Marriage is honorable in every way. Marriage is good for your life. The proverb says that whoever finds a wife finds a good thing. And we need to honor the covenant. It is an honorable thing. So we have to esteem our marriages as divinely established. We need to remember that it's a lifelong covenant. We need to guard our hearts and minds from downplaying what marriage is, because it is a sacred covenant instituted of God. So honor the covenant. Number two, love like Jesus. Marriage needs to mirror the faithful sacrificial of love between Christ and His church. Husbands and wives are supposed to submit to one another. It's not just wives submitting to husbands, that's true, but husbands are supposed to submit to wives, that's also true. It's a two-way street, and we are both to love and respect one another. Hebrews chapter 5, you can write this down in your notes, but Hebrews 5, 22 to 23 tells us all about it. And at the end, He says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence or respect her husband. And it's going to take that love like Jesus, forgiveness like Jesus. That's number three, forgive freely. Hebrews 4:32 says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There has to be forgiveness in marriage. I know, ladies, you thought he was perfect the day you married him. You found Mr. Right. And then one day you woke up and he was all wrong. Melissa and I have been married 21 years. Thank you. Appreciate that. She hasn't murdered me yet. I feel very blessed. You know, we've both messed up over the years. And there's had to be forgiveness on both sides. We think things, say things, do things that aren't right. And if you can't forgive, you're not going to make it very long. You better be forgiving and forgive freely. Be kind and tenderhearted and forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Number four, so number one, honor the covenant. Number two, love like Jesus. Number three, forgive freely. Number four, guard purity. Jesus has already taught us about this, that even a looking in order to lust is adultery in the heart. God's going to care about your heart and your mind, your eyes. You need to guard purity in your thoughts. Guard purity in your thoughts. And that's for both of you, men and women. And number five, persevere together. I thank God that He doesn't make us go through this life on our own. Listen, some people are gifted to singleness, and we'll talk about that in 1 Corinthians 7. God gives some people to that, but most of us, God puts a desire to have somebody with us in our lives, and I thank God that He does that. Amen. That He yokes us together with somebody, that we get to push through life together, because life's hard. And thank God He gives you somebody to hook up with and go through it together with. We have that in the church. We have that with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have that with our family relationships. I understand that. But marriage is different. The bond is different. The connection is different. And thank God that He allows us to have that. Uphold marriage as sacred. Pursue reconciliation and forgiveness. And remember the covenant. Let's stand together. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. If you're married, stay married. If you've not been married yet and you want to get married someday, you should talk to God about that. You should pray a lot about who you marry. I'm going to tell you this afternoon or this morning that I think that it's probably the second most important decision you'll ever make in your life. The first one being choosing Christ, being saved. And the second one being who you marry. Changes everything in your life. So if the Lord's convicting your heart about anything in your life, maybe a young person wants to come and ask God to help them find the right person to marry. Maybe somebody who's not so young is struggling. Or maybe you just want to ask God to help you to do better in your marriage. I don't know. But if the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart, you come while we sing.